Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Here's an extra book for somebody who wants to read the verse. We're going to read and discuss text 11 from Canto 1, Chapter 3. You have your little electronic devices ready. 1, 3, 11.
Shashtam atrir apatyatvam. Rita prapto nasuyaya. Anvikshikim alarkaya. Prahlada dibhyam uchivan. Shashtam.
The sixth one.
Atrehe.
Of Atri.
Apatyatvam.
Sonship.
Vrittaha.
Being prayed for.
Praptaha.
Obtained.
Anasuyaya.
By Anasuya.
Anvikshakim.
On the subject of transcendence.
Alarkaya.
Unto Alarka.
Prahlada adibhyaha.
Unto Prahlad and others.
Uchivan.
Spoke. Translation, the sixth incarnation of the Purusha was the son of the sage Atri. He was born from the womb of Anasuya, who prayed for an incarnation. He spoke on the subject of transcendence to Alarka, Prahlad, and others. Yadu, Haihaya, etc. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord incarnated himself as Dattatreya, the son of Rishi Atri and Anasuya. The history of the birth of Dattatreya as an incarnation of the Lord is mentioned in the Brahmanda Purana in connection with the devoted wife. It is said there that Anasuya, the wife of Rishi Atri, prayed before the Lord's Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva as follows. My lords, plural. If you are pleased with me, and if you desire me to ask from you some sort of blessings, then I pray that you combine together to become my son. Pretty clever. This was accepted by the lords, plural. And as Dattatreya, the Lord expounded the philosophy of the spirit soul and especially instructed Alarka, Prahlad, Yadu, Haihaya, etc. These verses in the third chapter are little compressed statements about the forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, because that was a question, one of the six questions raised by the sages to Suta Goswami, so he's responding. And elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, and as mentioned here, other Puranic literature expand further about the lives and the glories of these persons, personalities, avatars, forms of the Lord. And here's number six, Shashtam, the sixth one, where he's identified as the son of Ati. And more is known about his birth or appearance as their son than because there's a nice section about it in the Bhagavatam as well as the Brahmanda Purana. So we know more about his birth than we do, at least there's something one can make reference to about his birth and more about his teachings or his life. There's scant information that I'm aware of. So where this is presented is in the fourth canto, further expanded, and it's not a lot, but canto 4, chapter 1, starting with text 15. This is the genealogical table, so genealogy starting from Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu, of course, is discussed in the third canto as a direct son of Lord Brahma for the purpose of creating laws for mankind, but also praja, his original prajapati. And elaborate discussion is there of there's two sons, and then it's mentioned again in this fourth canto, two sons of Swayambhuva Manu and Shatrurupa, Uttanapada and Priyavrata. And in this fourth canto, Uttanapada's two wives and son, Dhruva, are spoken about. More in the third canto about of the three daughters, Devahuti, Prasuti, and Akuti. Devahuti and Kasyapa are discussed, Kasyapa being son of Lord Brahma, and of course Swayambhuva Manu is also a son of Lord Brahma, and his daughter Devahuti marries Kasyapa and Lord Kapila Dev, which we discussed yesterday. So in addition, there are a number of other sons of Lord Brahma, and one of those sons of Lord Brahma is Daksha, and Daksha had a number of daughters, and one of those daughters is Anasuya. The previous, let's see. Canto 1, Canto 4, Chapter 1, Text 12. This is Maitreya speaking. You have already been informed about the nine daughters of Kardama Muni, the nine daughters of Kardama Muni, because before Kapila Dev was born as the son of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, third canto, there were nine daughters. And the nine daughters of Kardama Muni were entrusted to different sages. And now he's going to describe the descendants of those nine daughters. So Anasuya is one of those nine daughters. The first one that's described is text 13, Kardama Muni's daughter Kala, who was married to Marichi, another one of the sons of Lord Brahma, whose names are two sons, Kasyapa and Purnima. Kasyapa, one of the Prajapatis, Kasyapa Muni. And then text 15, Anasuya, the the wife of Atri Muni, gave birth to three very famous sons, Soma, Dattatreya, and Durvasa. That's who Durvasa is the son of, and Dattatreya is the son of, Atri and Anasuya, who are partial representations of Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, and Brahma. So here's the sequence in the verse. Soma was a partial representation of Lord Brahma. Dattatreya was a partial representation of Lord Vishnu, and Durvasa was a partial representation of Lord Shiva. So we often, Prabhupada would speak of Durvasa being a partial expansion of Lord Shiva, and so he had characteristics like Lord Shiva, specifically easily pleased and easily angered. So how that took place, there's a little bit in the purport here. It's relevant to the topic of Dattatreya, and it's a nice subject to contemplate. It's discussing different categories of manifestation of Brahman, because the jiva, which is Lord Brahma, and Shiva Tattva was in his own category, and Lord Vishnu, they're all fully spiritual, and there are different manifestations of that fully spiritual dimension of reality. So here's how Prabhupada handles that. In this verse we find the words Atisha Swabhavan. Atma means the Supersoul of Vishnu. Isha means Lord Shiva. And Brahma means the four-headed Lord Brahma. The three sons born of Anasuya, Dattatreya, Durvasa, and Soma, were born as partial representations of these three demigods. Atma is not in the category of the demigods or the living entities because he is Vishnu. Therefore, he is described as Vivinangsha Bhutanam. The Supersoul, Vishnu, is the seed-giving father of all living entities, including Brahma and Lord Shiva. Another meaning of the word Atma may be accepted in this way. The principal, who is the Supersoul in every Atma, or one may say the soul of everyone, became manifested as Dattatreya, because the word Angsha, or part and parcel, is used here. Paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita, the individual souls are also described as parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Supersoul. So why not accept that Dattatreya was one of those parts? Question mark. Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are also described here as parts. So why not accept all of them as ordinary individual souls? The answer is that the manifestations of Vishnu and those of the ordinary living entities are certainly all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and no one is equal to him, but among the parts and parcels, there are different categories. Hope nobody is confused yet. In the Varaha Purana, it is nicely explained that some of the parts are Svangsha and some are Vibhinangsha. Vibhinangsha parts are called jivas, and Svangsha parts are in the Vishnu category. You know, like Prabhupada's language is a portion of a plenary portion. So the plenary portion is Balaram, and there's expansions of Balaram that have another terminology, so they're of the same category, like a lamp expanded to another lamp or light or candle. gives off the same illumination and heat. Still, it's in a different category, as because of its position as being from the original. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the end of the 10th chapter, what's the use of describing all these opulences of mine, because but a single fragment of myself I pervade and support the entire universe, and that's Paramatma. So similarly, Prabhupada is using language here. The svangsa parts are in the Vishnu category. In the jiva category, the vibhinangsha parts and parcels, there are also gradations, like some more powerful than others. The demigods are more powerful than us. And they're also jivas. The power that they carry is the power of the Lord to carry out functions, and there, so those are his opulences manifested within different jivas. That is explained in the Vishnu Purana, where it is clearly stated that individual parcels of the Supreme are subject to being covered by the external energy called illusion or maya. Such individual parts and parcels who can travel to any part of the Lord's creation are called sarvakata, from Bhagavad Gita also, and are suffering the pangs of material existence. They are proportionally freed from the coverings of ignorance under material existence according to the different levels of work and other different influences of the modes of material nature. For example, the sufferings of jivas situated in the mode of goodness are less than those of jivas situated in the mode of ignorance. Pure Krishna consciousness, however, is the birthright of all living entities, because every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, etc. So, similarly, there are, light is present in every bulb, but the gradations of light are different. Similarly, there are gradations of Brahman. The Vishnu, Sangsha, expansions of the Supreme Lord in different Vishnu forms are like lamps. Lord Shiva is also like a lamp, and the supreme candle power, or the 100% light, is Krishna. The Vishnu Tattva has 94%. Shiva Tattva, 84%. Lord Brahma, 78%. And the living entities are also like Brahma, but in the conditioned state their power is more dim. There are gradations of Brahman, and no one can deny this fact. Therefore, the words in this verse, 4.1.15, Atma Esha Brahma Sambhavan, indicate that Dattatreya was directly part and parcel of Vishnu, whereas Durvasa and Soma were parts and parcels of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Now, this is Bhagavatam. Hindus have a different take, and impersonalists have a different take. This is Srimad Bhagavatam's rendering. Text 16, I'm just going to read the verses through 33 now. After hearing this, so Maitreya spoke about Dattatreya appearing as the son of Atri and Anasuya. So Vidura gets excited and says, My dear master, how is it that the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the whole creation, became offspring of the wife of Atri Muni? Maitreya said, when Lord Brahma ordered Atri to create generations after marrying Anusuya, Atri Muni and his wife went to perform severe austerities in the valley of the mountain known as Riksha. In that mountain valley flows a river named Nirvindya, On the bank of the river are many ashok trees and many other plants full of palasha flowers, and there is always the sweet sound of water flowing from a waterfall. The husband and wife reached that beautiful place. There the sage concentrated his mind by yogic breathing exercises. The Sanskrit is pranayama. And thereby controlled all attachment, he remained standing on one leg only. Dhruva did it too. It was one of our congregation members in Tawak do that when he's to stand on one leg. Totter a little bit, but he's a character. Eating nothing but air. I don't think this Prabhu did that. It stood there on one leg for 100 years, eating just air. My goodness. He was thinking, "May the Lord of the universe, of whom I have taken shelter, kindly be pleased to offer me a son exactly like him." There's a nice purport about who can have a son exactly like the Lord. And that therefore, Atri Muni wanted a son exactly like the Lord, and therefore he is not supposed to have been a pure devotee because he had desired to be fulfilled and that desire was material. Although he wanted a son exactly like the Supreme Personality Godhead, this desire was material because he did not want the Personality of Godhead himself and only a child exactly like him. So if you want to get it straight, here's what you do. If he desired the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son, he would have been completely freed from material desires because he would have had wanted the Supreme Absolute Truth. But because he wanted a similar child, his desire was material. Thus, Atri Muni cannot be counted among the pure devotees. End of purport. While Atri Muni was engaged, so this is text 21. While Atri Muni was engaged in these severe austerities, a blazing fire came out of his head. By virtue was breathing exercise. And that fire was seen by the three principal deities of the three worlds. And in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami saying that the fire of pranayama is mental satisfaction. That fire was perceived by the Supersoul Vishnu, and thereby Brahma and Shiva also perceived it. So Atri's concentration was upon Paramatma, but Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva were also invited by Vasudev. Let's go and satisfy him. At that time, the three deities approached the hermitage of Atri Muni, accompanied by the denizens of the heavenly planets, such as the celestial beauties, the Gandharvas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, and the Nagas. Thus they entered the ashram of the great sage. Imagine his surprise. Who had become famous by his austerities. This is all directed by Supersoul. Text 23. The sage was standing on one leg. But as soon as he saw that the three deities appeared before him, he was so pleased to see them all together that despite great difficulty, he approached them on one leg. Thereafter, he began to offer prayers to the three deities who were seated on different carriers, a bull, a swan, and Garuda, and who held in their hands a drum, kusha grass, and a discus. The sage offered them his respects by falling down like a stick, one-legged stick. Atri Muni was greatly pleased to see that the three devas were gracious towards him. His eyes were dazzled by the effulgence of their bodies, and therefore he closed his eyes for the time being. But since his heart was already attracted by the deity somehow or other, he gathered his senses and with folded palms and sweet words he began to offer prayers to the predominating deities of the universe. The great sage Atri said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, you have divided yourself into three bodies by accepting the three modes of material nature, as you do in every millennium for the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all of you and beg to inquire, whom of you three I have called by my prayer? Oh, he's confirming. He wasn't just calling Lord Vishnu to appear, but all three, and therefore all three appeared because Paramatma knew his desire. And then a nice purport. I called for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, desiring a son like him, and I thought of him only, but although he is far beyond the mental speculation of man, all three of you have come here. Kindly let me know how you have come, for I am greatly bewildered by this. The great sage Maitreya continued, upon hearing Atri Muni speak in that way, the three great deities smiled, and they replied in the following sweet words. So it was like a trio. All three deities told Atri Muni, dear Brahmana, you are perfect in your determination, and therefore, as you have decided, so it will happen. It will not happen otherwise. We are all the same person upon whom you were meditating, and therefore we have all come to you. Of course, impersonalists have one view, Hindus have another view, and Vaishnavas have another view of that verse. And so there's a nice purport to just explain it. Text 31. You will have sons, plural, who represent a partial manifestation of our potency. And because we are all good, those sons will glorify your reputation throughout the world. Thus, while the couple looked on, all three deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, disappeared from that place after bestowing upon Atri the benediction. And then the final verse, thereafter, from the partial representation of Brahma, the moon god was born of them. From the partial representation of Vishnu, the great mystic Dattatreya was born. And from the partial representation of Shankara, Lord Shiva, Durvasa was born. Now you may hear from me of the many sons of Angira. So that's the next section. Here it's saying that in the Bhagavatam that Atri made this request. Prabhupada is quoting in the purport of this morning's verse that Anusuya, according to Brahmanda Purana, she made the request, and I'll just repeat, my lords, if you are pleased with me, if you desire me to ask from you some sort of blessings, then I pray that you combine together to become my son. Well, there were three. Partial and partial and partial, Lord Brahma, as the moon god, Soma, Durvasa, the partial manifestation of Lord Shiva, and Dattatreya, partial manifestation of Lord Vishnu. Now, different versions might be there, or Prabhupada has explained, and our acharyas have commented, that when there's different explanations of different about the same personality, it's different yugas or different manifestations of them, and so the variations of the narration come for that reason. Like, for example, there's one place in the Bhagavatam purport, where Prabhupada is listing incarnations of the Lord, and after naming Dattatreya, he puts in brackets an empowered incarnation, Shaktivesh Avatar. Now, because he's a partial manifestation of Lord Vishnu, he's still in Vishnu Tattva category, but it's consistent in our in the scriptures and the commentaries of our acharyas likewise, that he's Vishnu Tattva. But there may be some occasion when he's a living entity empowered by the Lord's Gyan Shakti. So the essence, this is about his birth, and the essence about what he did was he taught. And he gave, his teachings were teachings of, like Kapila, this is Satya Yuga, and his teachings were teachings of Sankhya, very elaborate delineations of matter and spirit, and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the controller of matter and spirit and the source of both of them, the cause of all causes. He certainly gave Vaishnava teachings. But there are some who received teachings from him or who worshipped him who didn't get it right. And the mention in the purport is Dattatreya, as Dattatreya, the Lord expounded the philosophy of the spirit soul, Sankhya, and especially instructed Alarka, Prahlad, Yadu, Haihaya, etc. Now there's not a lot of description of these instructions. Somehow Prahlad received, and in addition to instructions from Narada Muni about bhakti, the indication is he received instructions also from Dattatreya. But another mention here is Haihaya. And there's a detailed description of Kartavirya Arjuna, who was the king of the Haihayas, who worshipped Dattatreya. So Dattatreya, in addition to teachings of transcendental knowledge, he was also a mystic. He had six arms and he had three heads, and he had powers that were amazing, like this thing of fire coming from his head. It was not normal. People don't do that, fire from their head. So he had mystic power, and Kartavirya Arjuna worshipped Dattatreya because he wanted some powers too. So he was benedicted with 1,000 arms. That's a lot of arms. And he proud of his power and his 1,000 arms. So there's a description of this in the Bhagavatam, where one time he was consorting with ladies, wasn't always so austere, in a river where with his 1,000 arms to show off to the ladies, he stopped the flow of the river. Watch me. Woo, woo, woo. And downstream was Ravana. And Ravana was disturbed that the water stopped. So we went upstream to find out what it was, and we saw it was this puffed up Kartavirya Arjuna stopping the river flow with his 1,000 arms. So he challenged Kartavirya Arjuna, and Kartavirya Arjuna captured Ravana and tied him up and then set him free and said, "You can go home now." Ravana. Kartavirya Arjuna was powerful and he was puffed up. That happens. Those two go together sometimes. And then that same Kartavirya-arjuna roaming here and there with his many, many followers, because, wow, check out this guy, he's really powerful. He went to the hermitage of Jamadagni, and he thought, oh, Jamadagni has a Kamadeno, he has more opulence than I do. So he conspired with his followers to steal Jamadagni's Kamadeno, wish-fulfilling cow. And off they went with the Kamadeno. Little did they know, they made a big boo-boo. Because you don't steal from a brahmana, and you don't steal from the father of Parashuram. So Parashuram came back, and he saw, and he heard what had happened. So he picked up a chopper and he went charging Kartavirya-arjuna. Kartavirya-arjuna was really glad to have a suitable combatant. He came out of his palace with 17 Akshohini divisions. That's a lot of soldiers and elephants and chariot drivers. It's like big numbers for just one of them. There's 17 of them. Parashuram single-handedly killed them all. And Kartavirya-arjuna, along with his 1,000 arms. Jamadagni didn't like that. That wasn't very good. He shouldn't have done that. So he sent him off for penances. But Kartavirya-arjuna, this is the reference here, Dattatreya instructed some people that didn't use his instructions properly. He got some power and, you know, then went off somewhere else away from the proper utilization of whatever it is given by Dattatreya or a form of the Lord or a great devotee of the Lord. So wasn't always, so his position, of course, Prahlad is a great devotee, and Yadu, King Yadu, great devotee. Some used it properly. But, you know, some didn't. His life is a bit of a puzzle in one sense. And again, there's not a lot of description about him. Although those that he's popular in certain parts of India today. Those of you that have been to the Juhu Temple in Bombay, you know that around the sides of the temple, there are little window displays of different pastimes of the Lord, and one of theirs is Dattatreya, because he's very popular in Maharashtra. And in some places, I believe in some places in Andhra, he's also popular. Yes? Some of you from Andhra, so yes? Yunadi. Yes. Not all over, but some places. Well, you know, the understanding of who he is not so clear for the most part. Lots of things aren't clear for a lot of people. But the Bhagavatam is telling us very clearly he's a form of Vishnu. And he taught transcendental knowledge, Sankhya. And with that Sankhya, and he taught meditation. And he taught it through that meditation, certainly. Some mystic powers may come, but that's not the goal. The goal is not mystic powers through meditation or knowledge for the sake of liberation. All of these things are for anything is. The goal is attaining shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, engaging in his loving service. And this is the principal way that we, followers of Srimad Bhagavatam, should regard Dattatreya. Hare Krishna. Any discussion or questions? Yeah.
I was wondering, in the seventh canto, we have Prahlad Maharaj meeting some avaduta, in the chapter called The Behavior of a Perfect Person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, and if that is Dattatreya, and also the place in the 11th canto.
There's no mention, so we don't know. Okay. But he's certainly, you know, in that kind of category.
Prabhupada was saying he taught Prahlad, Yadu, because in the 11th canto also there's the teachings of the Avadhut Brahmana about the 24 gurus to King Yadu. So I was wondering if there's a correlation.
Doesn't say. So, you know, doesn't say. One of the references that I wanted to look to, I didn't get the time, was Lagu Bhagavatamrita. I believe there must be some mention of Dattatreya there. But I don't know if that kind of detail is going to be there. Lagu Bhagavatamrita doesn't go into the Puranic descriptions. It's more just, you know, terse facts about different forms of the Lord and their positions. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, there's just few things that are, you know, you point out some of them in which, you know, in one purport Prabhupada, you know, expresses one thing and then it seems that there's a contradiction in others. Either written on the Bhagavatam translation or another purport. One of them is he said that Durvasa Muni is a partial, both Dattatreya and Durvasa Muni are partial representations of Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
And then that they are, you know, in another purport they're, you know, it seems that one is Lord Vishnu, one is Lord Shiva, one is Lord Brahma. So, also thinking the past sense of, you know, when Durvasa Muni actually goes into Vaikuntha, is able to, you know, enter into Vaikuntha, and he has something to do with this, that he has also some partial thing of Lord Vishnu there.
That's a preamble. What's the question?
Well, that to clarify.
Huh?
To clarify, you know, whatever, that if he's...
I don't see what's to be clarified. He's a partial expansion. Durvasa is a partial expansion. Dattatreya is a partial expansion. Dattatreya, partial expansion of Lord Vishnu. Durvasa, partial expansion of Lord Shiva. That's it. And being a partial expansion of Lord Shiva, he had, you know, he had a password. He had privileges that ordinary living entities don't have. But at the same time, you know, the demigods, they also came to the ocean of milk and offered prayers. Although they couldn't see the Lord, and only Lord Brahma could hear the Lord, but they could go there, so they had privileges. And Durvasa had more privileges. Yes?
Now, Srila Prabhupada mentioned Durvasa Rishi, and I always had this question in my mind about Durvasa Rishi. Durvasa Muni. I had a question about...
Go ahead, ask.
Yeah. Like why he was the partial... of Lord Shiva. He was the partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. At the same time, why he was always so angry? He would curse people left and right, and many times we have found that he would curse people even if it was not their fault. They did something unknowingly and he would still curse them. So I always used to wonder why was that.
Pride. But he did other things. He gave benedictions very liberally, like Lord Shiva. Very liberally, even to unqualified people. Brikasura. you know, that's Lord Shiva. He's Ashutosh. Easily pleased. Easily angered. Easily. That's the answer. And how does that easily angered pride? With is specific in relation, the Bhagavatam describes this in relation to Ambarish. Durvasa was, you know, why is he getting more recognition than me? I'm a Brahmana and he's a Kshatriya and everyone's like values him more than me. Pride. No, his heart wasn't pure. So angered. What do you think? You want to hear some nice stories of how he was easily pleased? I mean,
I didn't know that one.
Oh yeah. You may not know the detail, but you know that where did the cooking capacity of Radharani come from? Of course, ultimately it comes from Krishna. But Durvasa Muni gave her a benediction. Did you know that? Where did Draupadi get her benediction of her Akshaya Patra? From whom? Durvasa Muni. Yes. Here's the description. It's a nice story of how, narration, of how Radharani, of course Radharani, this is a Leela because Radharani doesn't need benediction from anybody, certainly not Durvasa Muni or anybody. One day in the course of his traveling about, Durvasa Muni happened to enter Braja. And when he entered Braja, he saw a gathering of gopis off in the field. And he approached the gopis and said, I'm really hungry. I want something to eat right now. As in, right now, that's Durvasa Muni. You know, from Mahabharata, when Durvasa Muni, Duryodhana wanted Durvasa Muni to go visit the Pandavas after sunset so they wouldn't be able to feed him, then he'd become angered, right? Yeah, so, he wanted it right now. And the gopi said, well, we'll be happy to prepare something for you, but we're off in the field, so we'll run quickly to our homes, make something and bring it back as quickly as we can. He said, no, you don't understand. I want something right now. He was easily pleased and easily angered. Wants something right now. So Radharani took some dust of Vrindavan, mixed it with some water, and in a few moments, she had prepared some biscuits. And she offered one to Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni was taken aback, saying, how do you expect me to eat one of these things? She said, no. The gopi said, no, you don't understand. Whatever Radharani makes, it's just wonderful. Try one. And he took a bite. And it was so delicious. He ate the whole thing. In fact, he ate all the biscuits. And so he gave this benediction to Radharani that whatever you cook, it will be delicious. She already had that ability. And that anyone who eats your cooking will have a long life and will not get illness. And he left. And so when Mother Yashoda, the queen of the king of Braja, heard that Durvasa Muni had given this benediction to Radharani, she approached her dear friend Kirtida and said, can Krishna come and cook? Excuse me, can Radha come and cook for Krishna every day? So the arrangement was made. Radha was, because of the benediction of Durvasa Muni. It's Leela. So this wonderful Radharani cooking for Krishna every day could take place even when she was a little girl. And the magic pot of Draupadi similarly came. When Durvasa Muni was coming to town, you know, the Hastinapur, everyone ran in different directions. Durvasa Muni's coming to town, look out. But Draupadi, you know, she wasn't intimidated at all. She just served him so nicely. So nicely. He pleased him very much. And so he gave her a benediction. You pleased me very much. Here's this magical pot. And you know the rest. That's where it came from, Durvasa Muni. And it would produce unlimited amounts until the very end, when you take your meal, then it won't produce any more. So she would always take last. Of course she would always take last, even before she had the magical pot. That was just her mood. Is that all right? Well, his anger is part of his pride. And when it came to activities in relation to the personality of God, he utilized that anger for his pastimes. But your initial question was, why, if he's such an elevated person, does he become angry so easily, unprovoked? Anger, pride. Watch out for pride. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question. When you were going through the fourth canto section, and it's speaking about how Atri Muni wanted a son exactly like the Lord, and therefore he's not supposed to have been a pure devotee. I was wondering if you can clarify that statement a little more, because who else can be like the Supreme Personality of Godhead other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
Well, his expansions can be. The son of Vasudeva and Devaki spoke like that. There isn't some, you wanted a son like me, but there's no one like me. So I appeared as this one and that one, now I'm appearing as, showing you my forearm form. It's me.
Hi, Bo.
Not a son like me, it's me. Yes.
Guru Maharaj, I'm just thinking about Kartavirya Arjuna's position.
Okay.
Of this tendency of taking some instruction, and then after some time it empowered the instruction, that if I understand that right.
Not just the instruction, the person from whom the instruction came.
I feel that tendency within me, so I want to request you.
Well, if you know that tendency is there, you apply some antidote. The antidote is compensate for that tendency by its opposite. And pray to Krishna for relieving you from that tendency. Okay? What else can you do? We're creatures of depending upon Krishna. And so you just intensify your depending upon Krishna effort, depending upon Krishna for his descending mercy. And if you mess up, then you get up and you try again. And if you mess up, you get up and you try again. And just keep practicing doing things in a proper way, depending on Krishna's mercy. The bottom line is, it's the issue is our relationship with Krishna. And we have a relationship problem. Relationship with Krishna problem. We've got an attitude. toward Krishna. It's not just, you know, anything like you just described. That's where the root of it is. It's why we're in the material world. So, you know, welcome to the house of misery. We all have our issues with Krishna. We wouldn't be here otherwise. And then there's the efforts for correction. And the efforts for correction are pulled or propelled by good sadhana. So that comes first. And then hearing the instructions and internalizing the instructions and acting on the instructions and staying connected with the source of those instructions or the instructors, ultimately with Krishna. Those connections with instructors help you in your connection with Krishna. That's a practical way to address the root problem. Okay. Two more questions, one up front and one in the back, and we're done.
Thank you, Maharaj. I had a question on this text 30 where the demigods are saying we're all the same person. I looked through the purport. My question was, in the Vedas, demigod worship is prescribed for those who have material desires, I understand. So in the way that demigod worship is done in today's day and age, where there's not a proper conception of Vishnu being supreme, are they making some tangible benefit by that demigod worship?
Sure. There's recognition that the benefits are many. One of them initially is, there's a power beyond me. Yeah, they're a step above the atheists. There's a power above me, and I'm dependent upon that power above me.
And worship them as the supreme, though, isn't that displeasing?
There's a power above, there's some element of benefit. Yes. It's different than if they don't worship, you know, they worship, because worship tendency is going to come out, they worship something else. So, worshipping a power above me that's directed in the direction of the Supreme Lord, a power above me. Their conception isn't right, and so it's mixed, but there is benefit. That address your question? Okay, in the back? Raise your hand. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question was, Atrimuni is so knowledgeable. When he started his austerity, he was praying for similar to Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the prayer was for, he was praying for Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Supreme Personality of Godhead being Krishna, Krishna did not appear, but the three deities appeared. I was little confused there. Instead of Krishna appearing, when he prayed for Supreme Personality of Godhead.
His conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not the same as yours. It wasn't as clear as yours. And how it's clear for you is the cyclic succession. Now, who was Atri's teachers, Lord Brahma? But you know that the message of the Vedas is diverse, and different persons can get different ideas from the Vedas, isn't it? It happens. So he was a Vaishnav, but he wasn't. Two things he just mentioned. One is he didn't have a clear conception of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's something like Gajendra, when Gajendra was praying to the Lord, he didn't specify who. But Lord Vishnu appeared, and not Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, because they knew. He means the Supreme Lord Vishnu, although he didn't specify. Here it's less clear, even than Gajendra. All three appeared. His conception wasn't clear. There's the answer to your question. He's a Vaishnava, but his conception wasn't as... So we need clear conceptions along with worship. We must receive proper knowledge. People can chant Hare Krishna with an impersonal conception. And all kinds of conceptions besides impersonal conception. Okay.
I had one more question.
Okay.
Trying very hard for sadhana, trying to be regular and all that stuff. It is so much a struggle, and when I'm doing it, and suddenly unexpected things and something that I feel out of my control happens. How it is so much discouraging, and this happened many times. I did hear many times we need to make attempts again, have patience. But is it something in my faith that is lacking? Why I'm seeing that, make 10 steps and go back 5 steps?
Well, it may have something to do with the fact that you have a small child. And that was a choice you made, and so take the responsibility for that choice. And that's part of the distraction and something and something. And there's other things after the child becomes of age that doesn't do all those related distraction. But it's you're gonna have to be patient until that stage comes, and then deal with just your own stuff, not just motherly duty stuff of an infant, especially. Then there's always and always, just like yesterday afternoon, Vadapriya was speaking about the concerns of being a mother while trying to listen. I'm thinking about the 10 things I have to do for my children as soon as I'm done doing what I'm doing. It's control of the mind. Just the experience last night, you were there. That's the approach. How to control the mind is just do it. Absorb the mind by effort combined with descending mercy through the agency of the holy name. And Even if the mind goes somewhere else, you then apply yourself. It's just you've heard this so many times, so please do it. one mantra at a time message. It's the same message, like Maharaj said last night. The first Hare, hear the first Hare. Start, from the first syllable. And if it doesn't happen, then you go to the next. Now I'm chanting this mantra. So it's like that. Just keep practicing. You can say, whatever you want to say, all the yeah buts you want to say, that it doesn't stop, doesn't prevent, or excuse me, doesn't take away what you have to do. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, bring the mind back under the control of the self. So here's another way of saying the same thing. Here's a pile of rocks, and the assignment is to move the pile of rocks from here to over there. And you think, wow, that's a big pile of rocks. I think I'm going to need some prasadam. So you go take some prasadam. Okay, now I have some strength, but I took so much prasadam, I think I need some rest. Then you go take some rest. Then you think, oh, I didn't finish my rounds. I better finish my rounds before I take on some service. And you finish some rounds. And then, oh, my children are coming home from school, so I have to go do the cooking. And, you know, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And the pile of rocks is still there. It still has to be done to move the pile of rocks from here to there. So we just postpone what we have to do, bring the mind to Krishna. We just, like, you know, do other things. Because that's too hard. Big pile of rocks. But it's still there. The instruction of Krishna is still there. So do it. But Maharaj, you know, and then not only that, but I try, but the pile of rocks is still there. Take one at a time. Get a wheelbarrow, you know, just, you know, be creative. But you have to do it's an assignment. Something we have to do, and someone isn't going to do it for us. We have to do it under the authority and authorization and empowerment of others. Descending mercy has to come and effort has to be there. So it's the same story. No yeah buts, just do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.